Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Goals Do Come True with me, Doug Bennett. Nearly pulled my microphone off the table there. That wouldn't have been good. Anyway, today I am joined by Ryan MacArthur. Now, this season we've been talking about, you know, people pivoting, people carrying on working when they probably don't need to. Ryan reached out to me. He runs canarycareers.com, and they're a, well, specialist, miraculous, amazing CV writers, amongst many other things that I have no doubt. But anyway, thanks for joining me, Ryan. I'm looking in the background. You've got some various scarves from various teams, and there's a Chelsea Newcastle one there. I'm a Chelsea supporter, but you got to the match and I didn't. But anyway, over to you, mate. Tell us about stuff, you know, what people need to know, goals, goal setting. If you could throw that in, that would be amazing. But over to you.
Absolutely. And I appreciate you having me on, Doug. Real quick, I listened to the last week's episode, and the guy you were talking to, the American, he has a much better voice than mine. He sounded like he was a professional broadcaster, so I'm going to do my best, but, you know, we'll see what happens. But yeah, as you know, my name's Ryan. I've been a resume writer, career strategist for about 10 years now. And I say this to my British clients, usually my accent throws people off. I was born in Virginia in the United States, but I've lived in the UK for a long time. And, you know, we work with people all over the globe, right? From, you know, folks in the States and Austin, Texas, all the way out to Tokyo, Japan, right? And when we talk about setting goals, or we talk about, you know, how we can make these transitions happen, we focus on telling stories that demonstrate impact, right? I did this, which resulted in that. It's one thing for me to tell you, hey, I'm really great at this, but if I can demonstrate impact and show this is what I've done and this is what I can do for you, that particularly helps people transition into new opportunities. Because if I'm going from being, you know, a lorry driver to cybersecurity, those are two different worlds. But what I might be able to do is demonstrate that, hey, I'm very meticulous with my approach to planning routes. I'm very risk averse, right? Making sure that, you know, we're very safety oriented, blah, 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 right? It's just about telling that story in a way that, you know, relates to the hiring manager or whomever that, okay, I have what you need and here's how I put it into play.
Okay. So when you talk to your people about the, we call it CV, resume, you have a goal in mind, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. Are you expecting them to hit every job? Or, you know, is that unrealistic? I'm going to ask you, I've got a personal situation which requires a CV. So I'm going to ask you about that for my son a little bit later on in, actually.
More than happy to. But yeah, so everybody's situation is obviously different, right? Sometimes they get a client that comes in and says, I just lost my job. I've got three kids at home. I need something tomorrow. And look, if we need to, you know, break the fire glass and get things moving, that's great. Ideally, what we're looking for is to take a very strategic, very targeted approach to what we're doing. And when we set those goals, right, the buckets that I kind of play with in that are freedom, fulfillment, financial security, right? Is the job going to pay the bills the way you need it to? Is it going to give you the time to do the things you want to do outside of work? And do you feel good about it? You get that sense of satisfaction, right? That's the most I can boil the decision down to. So when we can start to build out what that means for an individual, now we've got a North Star, right? Now we've got a goal that we can chase, right? And I can go in and see, right, what does this person need? Do they need a specific type of resume or CV? Are there things we can do on LinkedIn to draw more attention to them from hiring managers or people that, you know, can make connections within that industry, right? And, you know, there's many ways to solve the problem, right? And also when it comes to resumes or CVs, we're writing for two audiences nowadays, right? We're actually writing for the, you know, the hiring manager who's going to read the thing, blah, 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 which most people only spend about 7 to 10 seconds reading a CV. So we have to be very concise and to the point. Now, the other audience that we're dealing with is the applicant tracking system software. There's tons of software on the market like Taleo or Workday. Places like Google have proprietary software that you submit your resume or CV online. It's scanning the document, looking for keywords and phrases, how your job titles align with what they want. But it's also looking for reasons to kick out, a resume or CV, right? Because you'll go on LinkedIn and sometimes you'll see a job that has 200, 300, 400, 500 applicants in a few hours. And let's be real, no recruiter is going to go through all 500, right? They might say they do, but I've yet to meet one who actually does. So they're always looking for reasons to pare down the resume. So we ensure that, or pare down the amount of resumes and applications they have. So we ensure that every document plays nicely with any of the software that's on the market, but more importantly, it articulates those achievements that show why they're the best person for the job.
Got you. See, I'm going to bring the personal situation in. My son, my youngest son, Jake, he has written a book, had it published, and it's a young adult fantasy novel. It's 135,000 words.
Wow.
So it's epic, right? Yeah. And he that was published on Amazon. We pulled it down from Amazon. It's going to another official publisher so that we can get it in bookshops.
Sure.
And it's 140,000 words into the sequel, right?
Mm.
And so this is epic sort of stuff.
Sure.
And he's an author then. But he lost his job recently. And he's mildly autistic. So he lost his job in a pool cleaning supplies business.
Okay.
And long story short, they're restructuring, but they needed to find a way. He wasn't enjoying the job, so he wasn't paying as much attention. Blah, blah, blah. So he needs a new CV, right?
Sure.
His mother, who I'm no longer with, feels that he needs to, get a job. And I'm going, well, no, hold on. You can cut yourself some slack here. I mean, you've written a massive book. You've got another one that's on the edge there. You know, have some time out.
Sure.
You know, there's no rush. And he saved a reasonable amount of money because he's living at his mum's house. So, you know, there's no pressure, although she's traditionally putting pressure on him because he's like, well, you know, you have to have a job. The only way to get another job is to have a job. And, you know, and he's getting a little bit stressed out about it. Now,
sure.
We put together a CV for him. My elder son, who put one, he created one for his, and he got the job that he wanted. And the headline was creating code from coffee. You know, that was his headline to just like stop them dead as they're, mm-hmm. as you said, scrolling through the,
sure.
You know, the CV. So we created him a CV there, and then he took it to somebody else, and somebody else said, no, you don't want one like that. You want one like this, because this is the traditional way to put together a CV. And it's like, because...
Yeah.
So I'm with the, it's got to be a showstopper, because, you know, you got the guy who's got 400 to go through, and he's got to narrow it down to, you know, 25 ideally in the first instance. So it's like, oh, dull, Times New Roman 11, yeah. dull.
Exactly. Yeah. And, the tricky part is, right, is oftentimes people equate to, because I'm 100% on board with you, where it's like, it's got to be something that captures the reader's attention. What we have to be careful about is with applicant tracking systems, including things like graphics, too many tables, they can throw off the software and result in a Dear John letter that says thanks, but no thanks. And clearly nobody's read this thing. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, with our approach, right, what we typically do is we get a baseline resume squared away, right, that client's happy with and I'm happy with. And then what I invite them to do is send me specific job links to roles that they want to go for. So what we do is we show them how to tailor and target a resume depending on what a job's asking for. Like, for example, for your son, if he was looking to, okay, I'm a writer, that's what I'm passionate about, it's what I love to do, what are some pathways where I can use that talent and that drive? And that might be in copywriting, right? It could be on the technical writing aspect of it. It could be, hey, I write blog script, or I write, you know, podcast scripts for people, whatever. Now you're competing with AI nowadays, which makes it a little bit more complicated. But the point is, I would write that resume much differently than if he wanted to stay in, you know, pool cleaning supplies, whether it's in the procurement side or sales or operations, like that's going to be a different narrative as opposed to somebody who's a writer or content developer or whatever. So it's all about giving the reader what they want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Making that as easy to find as possible.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, you know, he just wants a job, you know, but just because, you know, that's what he's been told by his ma that he needs, you know, and it's like, you know, but we want his brother and I want him to enjoy the next role because he didn't enjoy the last role. And 100%. You know, and I'm just figuring, you know, once he gets the second book out and he's got a third one in his head, once he's got three epic tomes out there in the world, you know, we're going to be, somebody will pick it up. That's my thought process, you know, and then then we won't need to worry about jobs. Any of
them. Isn't it? Yeah, you know, it's funny. Like, it's when you've got something like that that you're passionate about and you can make money on, eventually, right? Maybe not right now up front, but when we get, you know, traction, blah, blah, blah. There's ways to find that middle ground between, yeah, paying the bills and staying active in the job market, but also to not burning yourself out or selling your soul to a job that you just have no interest in, right? Because the whole thing that I go for with any engagement is I want my client to be able to perform at their best. Right. That's where we can really start to feel satisfied. But if I'm in an environment where I just hate it, or the people around me aren't great, or I just don't have any interest in the product, you're never going to perform at that top tier level. You might get close, but real satisfaction, right, that comes from doing a hard day's work and feeling good about it, that comes from having some skin in the game. Right. So, like, I'll give you an example. Like, I've wanted to be a footballer my whole life. It's the only thing I've done besides writing, right? I've been a writer, I've been a footballer. Now, in the United States, there's very few jobs available within football as a player, just because there's not like a league structure like in the UK where you've got, you know, 20 different divisions, right? Going down to grassroots up to the Prem, right? In the US, you've got the MLS and USL. There's a few other leagues now, but when I was coming up, you know, there were very few jobs. So it's like, okay, if I want to do this and make money, I've got to go abroad. I've got to go to a place where there's leagues that I could potentially play in. Mm-hmm. And how am I going to support myself getting paid, you know, 200 quid a month playing on a small team? Mm-hmm. I can write content. Yes. Right. So when I was in Gibraltar playing in that league, I was building this business, writing resumes. I was writing for a, basically a small agency based in Virginia where we would do, I would do journalism articles. I would write content for websites. And then I also ran and created social media content for a major charity in Richmond called Child Fund International, right? Doing those things all at once, I was waking up at 5 a.m. and I was probably finishing up at 7, and I had 4 training sessions a week and we had matches. But I was in heaven, Doug, because I was getting to do what I really loved. They were hard days, don't get me wrong, where I'm grinding for 12, 14 hours on top of playing football. And I have, my wife was with me, so spending time with her. Now, I would do it all over again in a heartbeat because we won the league, we got promoted, we won the league cup. It was amazing, but it was a sacrifice. Yeah. But when you find something that you really love and are passionate about, as cliche as that sounds, it never feels like work. I was just doing things I was enjoying. So those are the types of lessons that I've taken personally that I also try to share with the people I work with, that, you know, we can get to that goal you want. It might not be exactly how you wanted it to look, right? You know, I'm playing in front of 200-300 people in Gibraltar when I wanted to be playing, you know, in Craven Cottage in front of 20 or 30,000, right? That wasn't in the cards, but I could still find a way to realize that vision and dream. While also, too, making sure I'm not, you know, broke and living on the street, so to speak, I guess.
Yeah, no, and that's important. Because I what I do is I've got a quite varied, all the, you know, the podcast, and I've got financial services business, and I've got a planning business, and I do wills and trusts, and, you know, writing books, podcasts, you know, all of this sort of stuff. So it's like, depending on where my mood is, you know, I can... Yeah. Oh, no. Actually, I'll go and see clients today because,
yeah.
I mean, it's not as easy as that, obviously, but, you know, I can set my diary up so that there's enough variety. So it doesn't feel like I'm working. Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, this doesn't feel like work.
I don't feel like I'm working.
You know, but we're bringing some value to the world. And so, you know, that is something I think people that where work is optional, because that's what this season is about. When work's optional, you know, you've maybe sold your business or you've gone through a career and you've managed to make yourself a reasonable amount of money that you don't necessarily have to work. Mm-hmm. But you carry on working anyway. Sure. You know, but I mean, I know we're sort of twisting it a little bit to make it fit, but you know, that's it. If you do what you do and you enjoy it all of the time, then it isn't a job, really. And actually, you're not putting yourself under pressure to earn money, because the money comes if you're doing what you're passionate about.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And, you know, I work with a lot of clients. I shouldn't say a lot, but I work with enough who are at that stage where maybe they had the opportunity to take a voluntary redundancy and they got a little coin in their pocket. So they've got that flexibility. And then they come to us and they're like, you know what? I've always wanted to study archaeology. I've never done it. I've worked in banking my whole life. Like, okay, well, let's start putting in pieces in place to see what would that look like to go down that road? How much schooling would you need, or upskilling, or new things would you need? Like, what are the opportunities in your area? Would you need to move? Can you do something like this remote? I don't know. I'm not an archaeologist, but I have a vast network of recruiters, headhunters, and hiring managers that deal with that stuff all the time. And that's kind of how I built my business up over the years, is relationships and people, right? If I can go and ask somebody at AstraZeneca, hey, what do I need to do to help a staff scientist get a job within their oncology department? Okay, cool. You've got to include this in the resume. They need this experience, blah, blah, blah. Perfect. And now I can relay that to the client. We can see, does this make sense? Or do we need to try something else? Right.
Yeah, because, is this a realistic goal to go for, really, with your skill set or within the time frame that you've got available? Can you develop the skill set to be able to do it?
100%. You know, if you've got somebody who's been in the game for 40, 50 years, and, you know, do you want to have to go through getting a degree? Like, if you want to, let's roll. But you might want to be, hey, you know, maybe I could do this instead. Hmm. Right. And, you know, and the things that I always preach, regardless if it's somebody who's looking to make that change because, hey, I'm, you know, I've got the bag, money's good, I just want to do what I love now. To get this thing done in an extremely crowded and competitive job market, it comes down to people, process, and perseverance, right? People are the strongest tool in any job search, mm-hmm. right? When I've got somebody at a company who can say, hey, I know Doug, he's a great guy, he's amazing what he does, we should get him in here for an interview. Whether that comes from somebody shared that in an email or they got you a referral link. Because if you apply for a job online and you have no connection at a company, according to a 2019 study, you typically have less than a 5% chance of getting an interview. In my experience, it's even lower, especially post-COVID. Right. So the emphasis is always on personal professional relationships. And I always tell folks, when we don't have one, we start one. So if you're interested at a company, but you don't know anybody there, let's cold email. And I show people how to find the email addresses, how to track down people on LinkedIn. The point is that when we can start a conversation, build a relationship, become more than just a name on a computer screen, that's so much more conducive to starting a new opportunity in a fresh arena, as opposed to just like firing 50 CVs every week, firing off 50 CVs and hoping for the best. And that's a recipe to get 50 rejections every week. And you can be the most optimistic person on the planet. But if I get 200 no's and no yeses over the course of a month, like, that's going to drive anybody down.
It is. Right? Yeah. Yeah. You've got to be fairly resilient to be able to deal with that. But then what's even worse is that, like, 98% of them don't even bother responding to tell you that there's a no.
Yeah.
You know, so that you throw that on top of 50 no's. It's like, it can be, I can see it can be soul destroying. So how competitive is the market at the moment?
Oh, I mean, broadly speaking, right? Every industry is different, every type of role is different. Like, I give you an example, anybody that wants to work in product design, product management, it's extremely extremely hard right now because, A, it's a cool job. You get to do a lot of fun things. But, like, for example, Expedia, you know, the travel company, they just laid off a bunch of people, and some of them were in product, right? You know, same with people that I've worked with from Google and stuff like that. So the market's a bit flooded right now with folks like that. But, you know, if you were looking for like a cybersecurity role or, you know, anything related to, you know, developing software or coding for artificial intelligence or large language models, I mean, you can get in a heartbeat if you've got the right skill set and background they're looking for. I would say as well, like I mentioned before, like anything related to developing content, whether that's journalism, whether that's marketing, creatives, like it is getting so much harder to find like a full-time position because A, companies will just outsource it to an agency or a company, or they'll use AI, which is getting better and better at building this stuff out. So it's tight with those types of things. Like creative fields, it's kind of a bloodbath right now, at least with the clients I've worked with in my experience. Like I give you another example, Activision, right? The video game company, is Activision Blizzard, and then Microsoft bought them, I believe. I might got that wrong, but I think that's right. And then Microsoft canned almost that entire marketing department, you know, because like we've already got all the people in here. We don't need any of your folks. And so now in like LA, you've got tons of creative directors, right? Because Amazon also laid off a bunch, mm-hmm. right? So you've got all these people from these big companies that normally I could say, hey, I was at Amazon, or hey, I was at Microsoft. It's like, great. So is everybody else, right? So going back to what I said, like, you know, you've got to leverage relationships and people. It's not enough anymore just to rock up, apply, shake the manager's hand, and hope for the best. No, we've got to find every opportunity to build that relationship. If not, you're just dead on the wall. You know, you're dead on arrival.
Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, that is pretty grim, isn't it, really? Because we hear everywhere that, you know, people are saying, well, AI is just going to help. And everybody's going, no, AI is just here to decimate the industry.
Which way would you lean on that? So if you use AI, you know, correctly, it can make any job much more efficient. So I give you an example. I can't use ChatGPT to write resumes because A, that just goes against what I like to do, but I will use it for research. Or if I'm not sure, like I give you an example, I'm working with some clients right now from the National Institute of Health in the United States, right? They're scientists, they are PhDs talking about stuff. I have no idea what that means. And I can go in and Google and research, or I can have ChatGPT do it for me, the research. And say, right, this is what you would need to explain so you don't make this person sound like an idiot, mm-hmm. right? Because, look, this is going to sound so pigheaded. I can take anybody's CV or resume, make it sound amazing. That's just what I do. It doesn't work if it's not the person's voice, if it's not the way they would explain it. So you can use things like, you know, generative AI to help kind of bridge those knowledge gaps, right? So I think the difference in the job market's going to be when it comes to AI is, you know, who adopted it and figured out how to use it for their own, you know, benefit. And then the people that were like, it's coming to take jobs. I'm not even going to mess with that. Like, no, we need to acknowledge it's here because it's not going anywhere. Right. You know, it's the same thing when like, you know, the Model T Ford came out.
Or the calculator. Like,
you know, or the calculator. Radio,
or the TV. Exactly, or the computer.
Things change. So if we can find a way to leverage that change, you know, we can still stay in the game and stay relevant, but, you know, and that comes with anything, right? You know, change is inevitable. It's just how do we come to terms with it? And then how do we find a way to make it advantageous for ourselves?
I mean, I love ChatGPT. It's my new friend. It is a lot of fun to play with. And I'm always nice to it because, you know, when it does take over, I want it to remember me.
Mate, as that nice guy. Thank you to it. I do the same thing. You know, if it, because yeah, I mean, I came up during, you know, things like the Terminator and stuff coming out and just like,
yeah.
Hopefully that makes a difference. Probably wouldn't, but we're still going to do it anyway because, you know, I grew up in the South anyway, and it's manners and politeness always. So, you know, we'll do that for the machines as well.
I think that's a good call. I think that's a very, very, very good call. So, I mean, this is the Goals Do Come True podcast. Do you have goals?
Oh, of course. It's funny. I have goals for different aspects of my life, right? So as a footballer, I still play on a, non-league club down the road from us. And, we're in a County Cup semifinal. If we get to the final, we play at either Ipswich or Colchester's ground. And I've never played in a big proper football ground like that. So that's my last bucket list thing to do in football, right?
Nice.
I've won, leagues in three different countries, helped teams get promoted. I got on Football Manager in 2019. Like, I ticked all those boxes, but that's my one left. So hopefully, knock wood, we have a good game and get to that final. And then, as far as like the career professional stuff, like, I didn't have a goal coming into this. It was just, okay, this is a way I can pay the bills and do something I'm good at. And then over time, I really started to, you get messages from people like, thank you. I was really in a tough place and you helped me get this job that I just love. And so, like, I don't market at all. I'm 100% on referrals. It's
Wow.
just people sharing my, like, I've never spent a dime on marketing. I mean, we might start soon, but the point is that I've never had to, because it's just, I give everything I have to my clients. So the goal started to become get everybody a job. Get everybody, not so much get a job, get them a chance, right? I'm a big believer in equal opportunity, right? We can't necessarily have equal outcome because some people are going to work harder than others, right? But we can get everybody a fair shot. So my goal has been give everybody a fair shot. And I'm really proud to say over the last 4 years, we've kept a 99% success rate with getting my clients interviews within 6 months. I had three last year I didn't get. And I can tell you exactly why. And we're working on it to fix. And actually, one of them's already got interviews. The other two, we're working it, and they're very high level folks. So those jobs aren't always easy to find. Point being, that's my goal, is to get everybody over the finish line. And then if I was going to say from a long-term standpoint, I know that eventually AI is going to catch up to what I do. I'm a damn good writer, but at some point it's just going to be able to do it better than me. So, we're actually releasing a suite of like self-guided courses this week that show people exactly how I go about doing this, right? And then there's also another course that talks, it's basically a crash course for the job, modern job market, right? If somebody hasn't been in the game in a while and they may not know, okay, what are the new things I need to be aware of? That's what it does. So, getting those rolled out, getting to do my own writing more, that would be kind of that end goal ideal situation. But for now, it's get to that cup final and keep getting my people opportunities.
Awesome. So how soon is this thing going to be out available for people to get
Yeah.
access to?
So it's available right now on our website and on Teachable, where we host the course. We also host the UK version, which allows people to pay pound and whatnot. That's on a site called Academy. And I'm happy to share all the links with you if you want to pass that around. And also too, I have a coupon code, especially for your listeners. The coupon code is just goals, and that'll get 15% off anything that we offer. And part of it as well is, once we get these courses off the ground, my idea is to start doing like a weekly drop-in where people can come in, ask questions, vent, because that's part of it too, right? When you're in the same room with people, whether it's digitally or in person, and you're all going through the same thing, right? It's not so much misery loves company. It's like, hey, we can bounce ideas off each other. We can provide support, right? The old cliche, it takes a village, right? The same thing goes for finding a job sometimes. And when you've got people who are in the same boat, it's like, okay, we're going to get through this together. You see that, hey, so and so got it done, I can do it too. Right? Just having that belief sometimes is enough.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. So
Yeah.
goals will get you 15% off, and we'll make sure that is in the show notes and the link to the website.
Perfect.
So the I'm going to ask you for a nugget, right? A goal setting nugget, something that we haven't touched on already. But, if you can weave in people getting jobs or careers or changing the way that they do things, what would be the one or two things that they must do that we haven't touched on already?
Something that we haven't touched on already. So one thing that, especially when it comes to LinkedIn, right? And we mentioned how there's so much noise out there within the job market on LinkedIn, blah, blah, blah. Demonstrating thought leadership, right? Where I'm not selling you anything. I'm not trying to get you to buy something. I'm just sharing knowledge. I'm talking about how I've solved problems using that knowledge. That's something that can allow people to say, right, that's my goal. It's pretty lofty, whether it's a certain job title or a company or getting to do a certain type of work, right? When I can start to say that, hey, I have a lot of knowledge about this and here's how I put it into play, that makes people want to pick up the phone and say, hey, when can you get in here for an interview? Or hey, when can we talk about these ideas that you shared? Right. And, you know, again, going back to like ChatGPT, you can use that to build out basically what you want to get across, whether it's like 200 or 300 words on a blog post, or hey, this is a little 30-second clip I'm going to put on Instagram or anything else. Right. Just saying, like, hey, you've got a problem. Here's a few ways you can solve it. And this is how I've used it. That's one way I think that can help, you know, land those goals. And then the second one, is funny. I tell this story all the time. There's a great video of a young Steve Jobs. He was like 30s or 40s, maybe. So, like his heyday. And he was talking about how when he was a little boy, he was building a transistor ra or a radio frequency counter. And he didn't have the parts he needed. So, he found the old phone book, opened it up, and found the listing of the CEO of Hewlett-Packard. And this was like the 60s or something, right? And he just called him up. He's like 11 years old, 12 years old. And he's like, hey, would you mind helping me? I need some parts. And he's like, who is this kid? And he ends up giving Steve Jobs a job. And he's like, I built my radio frequency counter and I got to learn about hardware and I was in heaven. I loved it. And he goes, the reason that happened is because I asked for help. And the biggest thing he says as well is like, you know, whenever I've asked people for help, they've done it. I think oftentimes when I work with folks, they almost kind of expect people to just come to them, whether it's a recruiter or whether it's like, you know, oh yeah, you submitted this application. I have a duty to respond to you. No, they don't. It'd be great if they did, but recruiters, like, it's just not efficient enough for them to reach out to every single applicant. But if I reach out to that recruiter and I say, hey, look, I'm thinking about applying for a role here. I'd love to ask some questions, just get a feel if it's the right fit for me and if it's the right fit for you to have me. Now that person's going to remember your name. Now you might have a chance to get on the phone with them, build a relationship, have a laugh, get them to like you. That person's going to go to bat for you, right? But if I'm just, again, I'm some junior recruiter, I've got all these different applications to go through. I've got to be efficient. I've got to get this thing done quick because sometimes they'll have quotas they have to hit. They have to get a certain amount of phone calls in or blah, blah, blah. So asking for help and demonstrating thought leadership, those are those two things that I would say that, you know, especially too, if you've got a goal in a competitive place where lots of people want the exact same thing, you're gonna need help.
Cool. That wasn't too challenging, was it?
I don't know,
I like to
man.
throw these things in on the
Yeah.
end, you know, just to.
I'm the most competitive person you will find who does what I do. Like, there's nobody that wants to win more than me. And if anybody sends me a challenge, I'm gonna take it. Like, we don't turn away clients, right? You know, I've got a gentleman right now I'm working with who he had a fantastic career at British Airways, got a little burnout, left, did a few different jobs, and now he's trying to get into a role at the NHS. And I remember him telling me, like, oh, this is going to be tough, mate. I've been out of work. I've done a lot of different things. And it's like, hey, we're going to sort it. And if we can't sort it, we find something else that would work. Right? It may not be, like we said in the beginning, it may not be that exact thing you want, but we can get it close. Or we can get something that gives you those same things that you would get out of that job. Right? It's just being very solutions oriented.
I like that. I do like that.
Yeah.
So, how do people get hold of you?
Yeah, so on our website, it's canary-careers.com. It's also canarycareers.co.uk. You can find me on LinkedIn. Just type in Ryan MacArthur, resume writer. I'll probably pop up. I'm a LinkedIn top voice for job search, so it's usually pretty easy to find me there. And then, yeah, you know, like I said, we'll be releasing these courses today. I'm excited to see what happens with it. And just, you know, like I said, looking for opportunities to help as many people get to where they want to go as they can. I know from my life, getting to accomplish some of those goals that I set for myself, even as a little kid, right? I wanted to play Division I soccer in college, and I killed myself to be able to do it. And I barely played for that team. I think I have the least amount, I have the record for least amount of minutes played. But the point is, like, that's what I wanted to get to, and I got there. And that set the stage for the rest of my life to reinforce that you can do anything, man. It's like, it doesn't matter what they throw at you, you can figure it out. So I want people to be able to have that same feeling, because it's empowering. It lets you know that, hey, things are going to get rough sometimes, and there's going to be dark moments, but we'll figure it out. If you just keep working the problem, we'll find a solution. And, you know, that's something that's helped me, and that's something I try to get across to anybody I work with.
That's perfect. And I like to keep these, you know, podcasts succinct and effective, and we've done that, I think, today. So
glad to hear it. I didn't bore you too much.
No, not at all. Yeah, because you know, it's all, there's always going to be people that are in that transition thing, and you know, and maybe they've gone and they've done a bit of a business and it hasn't worked out quite as well as they thought, and they've got to come back and they've got to go back into the job market somehow or another. And it's like, well, let's, you know, if we can give people the opportunity to, you know, get in touch with somebody that's going to be able to help them out, then that's going to be useful. Yeah. And if we can, you know, we can make a difference to somebody, even if it's just to think of, you know, a different way of thinking things, like contacting people directly and just setting things up a little beforehand rather than just like blindly sending the CVs in. You know, if it's only that, you know, you're warming the plate up for yourself, then that's cool. So, yeah. Ryan, it's been really, really cool. Thank you very much for helping me out here, helping out the listeners on, you know, their next career situation. I hope the, you know, the online system, you know, works for you. It's, I think we need to make things easier, you know, for people to be able to help themselves sometimes, even get started on helping themselves and then realizing how challenging it is. And then sort of at that point, pulling in a professional to make the proper difference, because that's what it is. But, you know, we're going to make sure that your website's in the show notes. We're going to make sure that Goals, as a relatively straightforward discount code, is contained in there. I really do appreciate you doing that for my people. And thanks very much for joining me.
Doug, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.